Chapter 11. Author's Notes. Specific warning for discussion of past DubCon sex work. In an ideal world, Kim would have spent this little mission avoiding Vegas and flying under the radar. However, as part of his agenda to ruin Kim's life, Vegas had decided to whip out all his charm. So now Porsche, naive and friendly Porsche, believed Vegas was a nice guy. He was the brother of Kim's boyfriend and the boyfriend of Kim's brother, which meant Kim couldn't leave him to get entangled in whatever scheme Vegas had in mind. So Kim tagged along when Vegas brought their group to stay in the Minor family compound, even though there was absolutely no reason for them to stay the night there. Every time Vegas pulled out a cheesy line that made Porsche laugh, Kim and Pete's eyes would meet in deadpan resignation. The only thing that made the situation tolerable was that Porsche was genuinely delighted to be spending time with fellow Omegas. And a delighted Porsche was, quite frankly, irresistible. In their little Omega group, he was the oldest and the strongest. When Porsche was this happy, the man's scent drew everyone in the room. His smiles lit him up from within, and Kim couldn't help wanting to warm himself by that glow. Kim's Omega hated that they were fighting with Vegas, so instead, it latched on to the next available pack Omega. Kim wanted to spend time with Porsche, while at the same time being annoyed he wanted that. The whole situation was weird. "I can sew," Porsche said, laughing. They were standing in the courtyard, waiting for dinner to be served on the Minor family's long outdoor tables. Even Vegas gravitated towards Porsche when he was like this. "I don't believe it." "He really can," Pete said, reluctantly proud. "Bullshit," Kim said. Porsche tackled Pete and wrestled his tie off him. He tied it around his eyes and stood poised. "Try me." Outside of movies, people couldn't dodge while blindfolded, and they all knew it. But hitting Porsche in the face might help break the spell he had over them, so Kim threw a lazy punch. He missed. "Too easy," Porsche mocked. Kim silently ducked around to Porsche's other side before striking out again. Porsche dodged that one too, grinning. "Are you cheating?" Kim demanded. "Nope." Kim tried to sweep his legs, but Porsche seemed to know exactly where he was. That sweet, inviting smell of his was making Kim dizzy, and fighting someone who was supposed to be blinded was throwing him off. Porsche got in close enough to flick his forehead and said, "Told you." Vegas gave an impressed whistle. Porsche took off the blindfold and gave Kim a smile. "Instinct, Nong." Kim had always assumed that Che's insistence of his brother's prowess was hero worship. But Porsche was probably the most powerful Omega Kim had ever met. It made Che's views make a little bit more sense, if this was the template for an Omega that he'd grown up with. "Kim could really pick them, that's for sure." Porsche spread his arms wide. "You can do it too, I know you can. Use your instincts to look at me."
"I don't do that."
Vegas was watching them both. He was standing very still, his bruised lips pressed in a tight line.
"Just try," Porsche wheedled.
Whatever magic Che had, Porsche had it too. Kim didn't want to tell him no. Kim assumed instinct meant those little suggestions his Omega had been giving him. It nudged him now, hopefully, wanted to try.
Whatever,
Kim said.
It's not going to work.
Porsche punched the air in triumph.
Just relax your brain and don't overthink it.
Vegas snorted. Good luck with that. It made Kim want to try, just to slight him. Kim tried to tune into his Omega, just in case it had something to say. Which it obviously wouldn't. Kim loosened his control a little and stared at Porsche.
Left, his Omega whispered to him.
Porsche's hand tapped Kim's left arm.
Left,
said his Omega again. And again, another tap on his arm.
Right,
it told him, and Kim was moving as it spoke, even before he could really listen. Porsche's hand swiped empty air.
Holy shit.
Vegas gave a weird laugh. Kim just stared. Porsche looked proud.
Told you, he said again.
Then he shifted his target.
What do you say, Quinn Vegas? Want to give it a go?
Vegas laughed again, off-kilter and strange. He glanced at Kim, and despite the anger and threats, despite everything, Kim found himself giving a little nod. It was safe.
All right, Vegas said, and stepped forward.
At dinner, Kim rewarded his Omega by giving it exactly what it wanted. He made Pete a buffer between himself and Vegas, and then sat next to Porsche. It wasn't long before Porsche drew him into conversation about professional fights they'd both seen, and cars they'd both admired, or in Kim's case, bought. They even talked a little about music, though all of Porsche's knowledge seemed to come from his brother. Kim could see the absence of Che in their conversation, like a figure cut out of a photograph. Porsche was being careful not to mention him, clearly wary of so many strangers around the table. Che was the unnamed accomplice in all Porsche's wild stories. He was there in how Porsche kept putting pieces of food on Kim's plate. He was the reason Porsche said goodnight to Vegas, and then turned to Kim and said,
"So what do you want to do until morning, Nong?"
"You're like him, but also nothing like him," Kim said.
Yeah. We're the same, but in opposite directions.
Their evening activity had ended up being two bottles of champagne on the balcony outside Porsche's room. Here, away from prying ears, they could talk about the person they both wanted to talk about. Kim didn't like being drunk, but he occasionally enjoyed a bit of a buzz in the right company. Porsche was apparently that company, sprawled next to him and smelling so similar to the boy Kim loved. Anyway, two glasses of champagne couldn't hurt. Porsche had drunk more than two glasses. He lay down on the balcony, his head knocking companionably against Kim's knee.
"Che is so much better than me, though. I'm all..." Porsche made a mysterious gesture. "You know,
fucked up."
Porsche pointed at Kim.
"Exactly. Che is not like that."
Kim hummed, caught between agreement and disagreement. There was something deeply wrong with Che, but everything that was wrong with him was also perfect. So, it was confusing. Kim wasn't going to try to explain it to Porsche. He liked the idea of keeping Che's broken pieces to himself. Keepsakes only he knew about.
"That's the whole thing about brothers," Porsche was saying lazily.
"We get fucked, so they don't have to."
He snorted a giggle.
"Literally! Oh my god!"
Kim was quiet, but he felt like every cell in his body was suddenly attuned to Porsche's words. Porsche headbutted his knee.
Right? How should I know?
Hi, don't give me that, Porsche scoffed. He studied Kim from his position on the ground.
I know what I saw when I mentioned it earlier.
Kim went cold.
You didn't see anything.
Boop! Porsche tapped Kim's nose with his finger.
Lie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Boop! Porsche's laughter was exactly the same as Che's. That, combined with his scent, calmed some of Kim's panic. Porsche barely knew what he was saying, probably.
You're drunk.
Yeah, Porsche said amiably. Thought maybe you'd talk to me if I was drunker than you.
The power what's it that Che always talks about.
He'd be so proud of us right now. Kim looked down at Porsche's intentionally drunk smile. Porsche might not even remember this conversation the next morning. Even if he did, it would probably be fine. It didn't have to mean anything.
I've never actually fucked anyone, Kim said out loud, for the first time ever.
Porsche made an interested sound.
Been fucked?
Kim held the stem of his champagne glass very tightly.
I don't know what counts.
Up to you, Porsche said magnanimously.
Good or bad?
I killed them all.
Huh.
Porsche turned that over in his brain, then nodded.
That's what you should have done. It wasn't what you're thinking.
Kim held his glass up to the twinkling balcony lights and watched them shimmer on the champagne.
It was my choice.
Porsche wiggled a little closer. Their scents mixed together, cocooning them in a little bit of safety. Kim felt vaguely like none of this was real. Maybe he was drunker than he thought. The scent of a Pack Omega so close was heady. This Pack Omega hadn't slapped Kim yet. Maybe he never would.
I fucked a lot of rich ladies who had cash to burn, Porsche said. It was that or starve. Still my choice? You could have starved.
Not me, Porsche said.
Che.
Letting Che starve was not an option. If there wasn't another option, it wasn't actually a choice.
Guess not, Kim said. Sucks.
What was the choice for you? Porsche asked. His father had made it clear that Kin was the alternative to Kim. Or Tancoon. Kim's other option was sending either of them into dirty clubs, a knife in their boot and a smile on their lips. And that was not an option.
So, not actually a choice, then.
Porsche rubbed Kim's shin.
Sucks, he said, heartfelt.
Sorry, Nong. It really does suck.
Yeah. It really did.
Kim let himself fall back onto the wood of the balcony. He stared up at the sky, the moon large above them. Porsche was warm and safe beside him.
Why do our alphas even like us?
Because we're so fucking cute, Porsche crowed.
Cute,
Che had said, kissing Kim's face all over. Kim huffed out a laugh.
Maybe.
Definitely, Porsche said, thumping his head into Kim's ribs for emphasis. They lay like that together as the minutes ticked by. Kim realized he was absently rubbing his wrist on Porsche's arm. This was pack scenting, but the Omega way, with lots of cuddling and emotions. Porsche had even thrown both of their jackets around them to suggest a nest. Kim had never done it like this.
Me neither,
Porsche said, and Kim realized he'd verbalized the last thought. It's nice. I wanted to try it, but never got invited. The others made it look fun, you know? Like, in school, all those Omega cuddle piles. Always in the music room for some reason, Kim mused. The fucking music room, Porsche groaned. And overnight field trips. All the other Omegas all piled into one room. Fucking unbearable. In teen dramas, there was always a group of sexy and popular Omegas who would curl up in lavish nests and talk about alphas together. Kim had always wondered what it would be like to be one of them, while steadfastly declaring he didn't want to be. Screw them, Kim said. We are the hot Omegas now. Porsche laughed so hard he spilled their champagne.
I feel like a secret mistress, Che announced to the room at large.
Tenkun, predictably, cackled. Arm and Pole, the two very nice bodyguards who also seemed to be Tenkun's friends, hid their smiles in the sleeves of their suits. Che was feeling dramatic. He was sitting on a velvet sofa, wearing something Tenkun had given him. Tenkun had a million pieces of clothing, all of which had high collars to cover his neck and long sleeves to cover down to his wrists, which was fine, just a little weird. The tunic Che was wearing seemed to be made of gold silk. It was some kind of shirt? Dress? Che didn't know, but it felt like something a secret mistress would wear. It had been 29 hours since Che had set foot outside this suite. He thought he deserved to be dramatic.
P, how could you let your brother treat me like this? Won't it be a blight on the family honor?
They had been watching a lot of historical dramas. Family honor was a big deal in all of them.
Don't worry, my poor, slighted poor Che, Tenkun said, getting into the spirit. I'm sure Kim will marry you as soon as he gets back.
That made Che blush. Too far. The look on his face made Tenkun cackle again. It hadn't been a bad 29 hours. Sure, Che hadn't been able to eat anything because of how his stomach was roiling with anxiety. And yeah, every time his or Tenkun's phone lit up, he expected it to be a text about Porsche or Kim's death. He also hadn't slept at all, but he didn't need to. He and Tenkun had their dramas. They didn't need sleep. Che had gotten two texts from Kim. One had said, Porsche says hello. The other said, going dark. Che had definitely sent Kim more than two texts. He had decided not to count them, because that would mean admitting the number to himself and to the universe. It was probably fine. Tenkun had assured Che that going dark meant they'd turned off their phones, not that he couldn't text. Tenkun was an excellent person to hold an anxiety vigil with. He knew a lot about what was happening, and also didn't want to talk about it. Che was so grateful that he didn't have to get through this alone. A knock on the door that got them all tensing.
It's me, came Kin's voice.
Tenkun relaxed and motioned for Pol to open the door. Kun Kin looked just as stressed as they felt.
No news, he said, before they could ask.
Che flopped back onto the sofa of velvet despair.
Well, come eat something at least, Tenkun said.
They had a lot of food left from the dinner they hadn't eaten. Kin looked as disinclined towards it as they had been.
Are you two all right?
Hi, of course we're not,
Tenkun said severely.
Our Omegas are out there, and we're in here.
Kin clearly agreed.
Oh yes, it's a great plan. All the Alphas stay behind and the Omegas get shot at.
Kin, Tenkun warned, with an unsubtle motion towards Che.
Kin cleared his throat. But they'll be fine.
Nice save.
Che was stressed and tired enough to have lost his filter.
I don't see what being an Omega has to do with anything. What matters is that we love them and that they're in danger.
Che sat up to look at Tenkun and Kin.
Right?
Tenkun said.
Ah, Kin said.
Right,
Pol said cheerfully, and was immediately smacked by arm and dragged into another room.
Che knew he was picking a fight. He knew it was because he was worried. It did not stop him from saying,
Porsche could kick all of our asses, Omega or not. Kim could, too.
I wasn't saying they were weak.
Kin sat down next to Tenkun and knuckled at his temple.
I just meant I should be there to protect them, and I would be if Vegas wasn't such an egotistical idiot.
Sounds like patriarchal bullshit to me, Che said.
Tenkun hummed and offered Kin a piece of chocolate, which he accepted.
Maybe, sweet thing, but it's a cruel world you found yourself in.
Sometimes, when Che was mad, he went on Twitter and got in fights with gender purist assholes. That always helped release some aggression. In real life, though, it was not helping. Tenkun and Kin didn't look angry, just tired.
Kin said, I've seen you with Porsche and my brother. You know to be careful with Omegas.
Che bridled.
It's not because they're Omegas. I mean, partly it is, I guess, but not really.
It's good that you are, Kin said.
He was staring blankly at nothing.
Someone should be.
Tenkun gave a disapproving tsk and shoved another piece of chocolate in Kin's face.
You are much better than anyone else in this game.
The Italians have Alphas on their payroll. They'll bring them, Kun.
You can't control that.
I should be with them.
Our father, in his infinite wisdom, put Vegas in charge of this mission. And Vegas didn't want you. Eat your chocolate.
Kin obeyed.
They can take care of themselves, Che said, but it ended up coming out more like a question. Of course they can, Tenkun said.
He rubbed his covered wrists with an absent kind of anxiety.
But there are people who exploit Omega's, specific vulnerabilities, and they usually end up working for families we hate. So,
if Porsche ever felt specifically vulnerable, he'd hidden it from Che for their entire lives. That sounded like something Porsche would do.
Still, did Porsche ever tell you he can fight with his eyes closed?
Che asked. Kin looked at Che in surprise.
Really?
I've seen him do it. I've seen him take down Alphas twice his size with nothing but his scent. Alphas have vulnerabilities too, you know.
Kin's scent became less despairing.
He did technically win our first fight. He jumped off a boat.
If he ran, he wasn't fighting you as hard as he could have.
Kin looked unbearably fond.
I think you're right.
A chocolate truffle appeared in Che's vision. Tenkun waggled it invitingly, and Che accepted. It tasted sweet and a little bitter on his tongue.
I'm worried too, Kun Kin, but he and Kim can do this.
They had to, because the alternative was too terrible. Whether or not he fully agreed, Kin let it go.
You don't have to call me Kun. We're practically packed now.
That was a kind thing to say. Che gave him a little smile.
pack, huh? Do I get to behead Alpha? Kin offered a ghost of a smile in return.
You can try for it, if you like losing.
Ooh, Pekin, what a burn.
Tenkun scoffed.
Head Alpha is obviously me. I'm the eldest, and the smartest, and the most fashionable.
Che shrugged. No argument here. Your points will be taken under advisement, Kin said diplomatically.
Unfilial, that's what you are.
Che curled up in his silky shirt dress thing and rested his head on his knees.
I'm sorry I tried to pick a fight. Portion I kept to ourselves growing up. I don't really know how to talk to other alphas.
Tenkun rubbed Che's head.
We're used to that around here. Everyone's always trying to pick a fight. I'm the only sane man in a house of maniacs.
And you weren't wrong, Kin admitted, surprising Che.
Kin was constantly surprising him, always a little kinder than he expected.
Porsche and Kim, and Vegas, I suppose. They can take care of themselves.
Kin's voice dipped a little softer.
I just wish they didn't always have to.
That, Che completely agreed with.
Yeah,
he said fervently. Then he sighed. I'm beginning to think that everything in the world is complicated.
Kin smiled for real this time. A friend told me recently that love is simple.
Che felt warmed by the idea. Our pack does have a lot of love.
Adorable,
Tenkun muttered.
Kin's smile faded. But yes, the rest is complicated. Knowing when to step in and when to step back. Deciding what bad things you're willing to do to keep them safe.
Like how I commanded those people the other night, Che offered.
No, Kin said bluntly. I mean actual bad things.
Harsh, but fair. I've already been thinking about it a little bit, Che admitted. He curled his arms tighter around his knees. It's hard not to, watching what P. Kim is going through. He won't tell me the details, but I know he's stuck in something awful. Honestly, if you two haven't been able to help, I don't know what I can do. But I think I'd do bad things to make it stop. Silence ran through the room like cannon fire. The hairs on the back of Che's arms prickled. Kin and Tenkun were staring at him. And suddenly Che remembered that he was in the house of the most dangerous family in Bangkok. Tenkun and Kin's stillness was the kind lions had right before they pounced. Tenkun watched Che with a terrifying excitement that looked almost like hunger. Tenkun had set up this conversation to begin with. Had this whole thing been a trap?
Sweetheart, Tenkun said, very calmly.
How about you tell us exactly what you mean by that?
Che's heart pounded with sudden panic. He just assumed Kin and Tenkun had known what Che knew. Kim loved his brothers. Why wouldn't he tell them? Che told Porsche everything. Was he betraying Kim right now?
Poor Che, Kin said. And his calm was not nearly as nice as Tenkun's. It was a smooth lake with sharp rocks at the bottom.
What are you talking about?
I thought you knew that Kim was in trouble, Che whispered. He shrank into himself as much as he could, trying to avoid their predator gaze.
We know a little bit, Tenkun soothed. Still calm.
He hadn't blinked once. but you clearly know more. I thought you might. Che was pinned by his stare. If Pete Kim hasn't told you, I don't know if I should. Shh, I know, Ten Kun said gently. So gently. It's hard to decide what to do, I know.
I think I want to go to my room, Che said desperately, but he couldn't make his legs obey him.
Kin hummed a warning that wasn't quite a growl. It didn't have to be. Not right now, honey, Ten Kun said, unblinking. Tell us what you know, please. Kim had shown Che parts of himself that Che didn't think anyone had ever seen. If he hadn't shown his brothers, maybe there was a good reason. P. Kim didn't say that I could tell, Che said, his voice wavering. Kin and Tun Kun glanced at each other, a look of silent communication. Their scents rose and mingled, smoke and citrus.
But he didn't say you couldn't, either, Tun Kun mused.
He was leaning towards Che, not quite touching him. Kin's words turned into daggers.
If you don't tell us, you're the one hurting him. Is that what you want?
No, Che growled, unsure and getting mad about it.
So you are lying, then, when you said you didn't want our Omegas to have to defend themselves alone. That was a lie?
Quit bullying me!
Darling, we know you're careful with Kim, Ten Kun soothed. But he's not exactly careful with himself, is he? Sometimes, maybe, he needs a little help,
Kim was tearing himself apart, Che had known from the first day they'd met. He'd never seen anyone look that trapped while sitting in the open air. That first night, Kim had offered to have sex with him, or, well, something like that at least. Kim hadn't wanted to flirt with Che at first, but he'd done it. Kim was always doing things he didn't want to do.
I told you,
Ten Kun continued, playful and also deadly serious.
He's got a mind like one of those escape rooms. A haunted escape room with no actual escape.
They weren't wrong about that, either. Kin's scent burned.
There's been something off for years. We both know it, but he won't tell us. And the other night he said some things that made me think that it might go deeper than we thought.
Che had said he'd do bad things to help Kim. Maybe this was the bad thing he'd start with. But also, maybe it wasn't bad at all.
Complicated. If it does go deep, will you still help me make it stop? Che asked.
Yes,
Kin said immediately.
Yes, Ten Kun said. Seriously, I need you to think about this. Pekun, he was really, really afraid of me meeting your father.
Kin's face went pale. Ten Kun pressed a hand to his neck over the collar of his shirt, looking grim and sad, but not surprised. Che's scent was strong in the room now. It mixed with Kin and Ten Kun's sharper scents, and the combination smelled right.
He's my little brother, Kin said roughly. I told him I'd help him, and I meant it.
I did raise him, after all,
Ten Kun agreed, his flippancy belied by the fire in his eyes. Ten Kun and Kin were scarier than Che had thought at first, but they were like Kim in that way. They were dangerous, and they loved their brother. They scared Che, and they reassured him. Che had a feeling that, whatever they were up against, he would need someone mean in his corner. "It's not much," Che said, "but I'll tell you what I know." Author's notes. Porsche, challenging a lifetime of internalized self-hatred. What, like it's hard?